Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The update from One Bills Drive. It's going to be all draft all the time starting at 8 o'clock tonight. The NFL draft starts at 8 in Nashville, Tennessee. The Arizona Cardinals have the first pick, and in a rare instance, they also have the final pick. On Saturday, they'll select last, barring a trade. Means they'll get the first pick, and they'll get Mr. Irrelevant. The Giants and Patriots each with a dozen picks over the next 3 days, the most in the NFL. The Bengals have 11. The Bills have 10. The team with the fewest picks this year, Seattle, followed by the Bears with only 5. 8 o'clock tonight, you can follow the draft along with us right here. We'll be on the radio on our flagship in Buffalo, WGR Sports Radio 550. Myself, Steve Tasker, 8 p.m. tonight to cover round one of the NFL draft. Could rain tonight in Nashville, and they're supposed to go outdoors, an open-air venue for the draft tonight. They're ready to move it indoors. The league says weather calling for a 55% chance of rain in Nashville when the draft kicks off at 8 p.m. If the weather gets severe, the draft will move indoors to a symphony hall just blocks away from where the draft is supposed to go. Drew Lock, quarterback from Missouri, is now being talked about as a possible first-rounder. As far as his interests, he says he can go to the first round. He said he'd rather go to a good team at 32nd than to a bad team at number one overall. He may not have that choice. Bruce Arians, coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, says when you draft for need, you get fired. He says best player available is the only way to go. We'll see how that works out for him. The NFL has sent a warning letter to Jacksonville Jaguars Executive Vice President Tom Coughlin about his criticism about players not attending voluntary offseason workouts. He's not fined. But a source says the letter warned Coughlin and the Jaguars that future comments could lead to discipline or possible loss of OTA practice days, a fine or possible loss of practice time. Stanley Cup playoffs tonight. The game one in a couple of series in the East. It's game one of the Eastern Conference second round series. Columbus at Boston, 7 o'clock faceoff. Dallas at St. Louis tonight at 9:30. And the Bisons in action in Syracuse, tied at 2 in the fourth inning. Final game of the Herds series in Syracuse. And that's the update from One Bills Drive. John Murphy, Steve Tasker here for one more hour. Lots of time for you to weigh in. 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-552-550. Who do you want? Who do you want the Bills to pick? This Bruce Arians comment, Steve. I made a mental note this morning about this. I want to talk to you about it. Bruce Arians, you draft for need, he says. You draft for need, you get fired. Draft the best player, and if you got two of them now, you've got three of them. Just take the best players available for you. You got four players right there together, and one of them is in need. That's the home run. That's the home run. You draft for need, you get fired, Bruce Arians says. Sounds great. Sounds great. Logical. Who would not say, yeah, you're right, Coach Arians.
Yeah, we'll go back.
But teams draft for need. They do.
Yeah,
they do.
We'll go back and look at their draft after, you know, when Tampa Bay finishes their draft this year in her first year. And this is his first year there. We'll see if he doesn't draft for need.
Right.
He's going to.
You
got
draft
to.
For need.
Listen, even if you draft the best player available, you're going to get fired at some point.
Yeah.
It's a way that's
why
the,
do coaches hide from that? I think it has something to do, I believe this, with the random and nature of the draft and the luck involved in the draft. And coaches want to say, well, we got the guy after the fact. They want to say, we drafted the guy we believed at that time was the best player available. We weren't drafting for need. I think it's kind of covering their butts a little bit.
Yeah.
You were drafting for need, and I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
It's rhetoric.
I think it's an acknowledgement that, gee, we hope this works out. We've done a lot of homework, but nothing is guaranteed in the draft, and maybe this doesn't work out.
Yeah.
I don't know why Arians would say that. You draft for need, you get fired?
Because it's a good soundbite. He was in the media.
For a little bit.
Yeah, it's got us quoting him.
All right, what do you want? Who do you want the Bills to take? Give us a call, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. And you can tweet it in. We'll read it off the tweet sheet. We'll take a call here. Edric from New Jersey. How have you been, Edric? We haven't heard from you in a while.
Hey, guys. How are you? I'm doing well. Thanks for asking. Hope you guys are doing good, too.
Yes, we are.
Draft day. It's exciting time. This is what we wait for all offseason. Unfortunately for Bills, it's been a lot. It's been very important in most years, but we're building something. But I'm in a bind here, guys, because I have a philosophy, and I'm a big believer in it. In those first 15 picks of the first round, I only draft quarterbacks, the guys that make the life difficult for quarterbacks, that being rushers, cornerbacks, and then the guys that protect the quarterback, tackles. So I'm in the bind because I really love this kid, Hockenson. This kid is really impressive. But then when I think about it, draft history shows you don't take tight ends in that early. You know, I think a few years back, O.J. Howard was a great prospect coming out. And I think he went 18th or 19th to Tampa. So although my heart wants Hockenson, guys, I think reality is it's either going to be, you know, hopefully Oliver. Oliver, man, he reminds me of Donald, whom I love. Obviously, he's a great player. I think that's a little bit too high. But, you know, he reminds me of Oliver. I mean, of Donald. There's a kid, Wilkinson, who I see is looking very popular in all our mock drafts. And then, you know, one of the tackles, either Williams or Taylor. But, man, I really like Hockenson. I think he's a good player. I really do. But just history shows you can't do it. But, you know, I'm excited, guys. I'm looking forward to it. And thanks for having me on.
Thanks, yeah. Edric. And a couple of just one thing, if I may, on the tight ends.
Yeah.
And he's right. O.J. Howard was probably more heavily hyped than Hockenson has been this year. O.J. Howard was the 19th overall pick.
Freakish athlete.
19th by Tampa Bay. First rounder, yes, but 19th. That's even with all the hype about O.J. Howard, he wasn't a top 10 pick. I don't know, is this guy better than O.J. Howard? Does he have the potential to be more of a contributor than O.J. Howard, Hockenson? And you're absolutely right, Edric. You, like many people, and it's not just old-fashioned thinking, many people just think a tight end does not have that much to contribute that he would be a top 10 pick. I get that. I'm kind of in line with that. Go ahead, Steve.
It's right. And I think when you're talking about, you know, these edge rushers that we're talking about, like Ed Oliver and Wilkins, T.J. Hockenson seems like the biggest roll of the dice because the tight end's position is so difficult to play. Certainly, I think you got to do both things. You got to be a wide receiver and you got to be a big, nasty tackle. Those guys don't fall off trees. Those guys don't come along. Guys who are good at both of those things are generational players. Those guys are like Gronkowski. Those are the guys that teams are – that's like the ultimate weapon. They just don't exist. Travis Kelce isn't a great tight end because he blocks. You know, Tony Gonzalez wasn't a great tight end because he blocks. Jimmy Graham, he's not a great tight end because he blocks. None of these guys are great tight ends because they block. They're a great tight end because they got a great quarterback throwing to them and they catch a lot of balls. That's all people care about. This big weapon going down the middle, a guy that's impossible to think. And then you're lucky. The team's lucky if they can leave him on the field on first down, you know, and second and five or second and two. They leave him on the field so that they can work in the run game. They're lucky if they've got a guy they can put in there. Otherwise, the guy comes off the field and you put your other guy, you know, your other tight end in. And a lot of these teams do that. These tight ends, unless they're, well, even if they are, like you just said, the Howard kid from Alabama a couple years ago, he's a freakish athlete. He's 19th pick overall, you know, because he just doesn't, there's some holes in his game. Now, Hockenson, I've heard people say, yeah, dominant blocker. I don't want a blocking tight end. I really don't. But if he can play wide receiver, if he can, you know, get down the field like Gronkowski can, if he can catch the tough pass, you know, in the back of the end zone, if he can body up guys and be a great red zone target, well, okay, I'll talk to you about it. Then that's okay. But the first thing he's got to be is a receiver. For me, it's a throwing league, Murph.
Travis Kelce had a great year last year, 103 catches, 10 of them for touchdowns. Great year. He was a third-round pick. Was he great last year because he's the great Travis Kelce? He's a really, really good player. No, it was Pat Mahomes. It was
MVP
Pat Mahomes last year.
Yeah.
So to look at Hockenson and say, we're going to get a really good tight end, I get that. He'll be a really good tight end in this league. I have no doubt about that. Will he be a difference maker? That's the question I would ask.
This is the great debate for this draft, for our team, for the Bills. because Hockenson is this carrot and this he's this huge possibility. But I've said this from the very beginning. I can't believe I forgot about this. This is my main premise and one of the things, my core beliefs. So I'm gonna open up. I'm gonna open up to you, Murph. You ready?
Okay.
Whatever tight end they get, it's gonna be only as good as Josh Allen, the quarterback. I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's Hockenson. I don't care if it's Noah Fant. I don't care if it's Sternberger. Any of these guys, they're only going to be as good as Josh is. Same thing with DK Metcalf. Same thing with Cole Beasley and John Brown. All of these, certainly they're going to be good enough for other quarterbacks. We've seen them be these free agents, what I'm talking about, the receivers and stuff. We've seen them be good enough for other quarterbacks to make them successful. They're only going to be as good as Josh's ability to get them the football. Certainly you want quality guys there and stuff, but all the guys we had last year were unproven, but certainly they flashed. Foster flashed for the Bills last year. You got guys that, you know, showed up. But these guys that you draft and the free agents are only going to be as good as Josh is. Certainly you want to help him in every way you can. But you do that, to me, by making the offensive line dominant so you got a solid run game, even if you do have two mid-30-year-old quarterbacks, running backs taking the ball. You got to have a good running game. That's going to make Josh better than anything. The offensive line being dominant and being able to run the football whenever you want, no matter what, having that on the table all the time in any given situation is going to be huge and a much bigger help to Josh Allen than, you know, a tight end that can run fast and get open. Because Josh got to get him the ball. That's what it's all going to come down to. So I'd much rather go in front of Josh and make sure you got – they've made some great strides in free agency. I love the guys they signed. But give them some more. If they're good already, make them dominant. That's my point. That's my thing. And because those guys that we're talking about, they're going to be available here. They are not rolls of the dice like Hockenson would be. Is he going to be, you know, is he going to be good enough in the passing game? Is he going to be good enough? You don't know.
Yeah, I have on Hockenson, and I'm not advocating picking him with the 9th overall pick, but I've heard people describe him as kind of a sure thing, though. He'll be a good player. I don't know if he's a roll of the dice. That's all I'm saying. I think I would disagree with that.
How good is he going to be with Josh's quarterback as opposed to with Drew Brees as his quarterback? You know?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I think he's going to be pretty good.
And I know this.
Is he worth the 9th overall? That would be my question.
And here's the thing. We're talking about this team in One Bills Drive. Brian Daboll knows how to use a tight end. He was with Gronk. He knows what it is to have that guy. You know, he knows what it is to be in the room with a guy like that and how to use him and what he's good for and stuff. So if the Bills take him, it's because, you know, they like the kid. They've seen him. They love his skills. They love his skill set, size, his athleticism, his attitude, his character, and all that, yada, yada. They also are looking at Brian Daboll, and he's going, yeah, that's the guy. You know, so I'm okay. If they take him, believe me, I am all about it. They know it better than I do. But those guys are impossible to find. That's why, you know, teams don't take them high because
a complete tight end, you're saying,
yeah,
is
impossible? They're probably hard to evaluate too at the next level. I don't know. And so much of what they do is just like a wide receiver. You know? Julio Jones isn't going to play well with Blake Bortles as his quarterback.
You're right. Yep. Who do you want the Bills to take in the first round? On the tweet sheet, Tiffany Daniels sends this in. Christian Wilkins checks all the boxes for me. And the type of player the Bills are all about. Highly productive college player, great teammate and leader. He went back for his senior year to make Clemson a better place, get closer to his teammates, and win a championship. Wears 42 to honor his grandpa. A lot of good comments about Christian Wilkins. Yeah. And I go back to Dan Shaka of Our Lads Guide, who said he would fit in with the type of man that the Bills want. And I get that. I don't know that that's enough to merit the 9th overall pick. They may be able to get Wilkins a little bit later on in the first round.
Yeah. You know, you talk about, you know, where you go to get your information, and all of us do that. We go to different places, and you were giving me trouble because I was on this thing.
I'm not giving you trouble.
Well, you know, Tankathon is the one and I use it for the wrong reasons because it's easy for me because I'm an idiot on the computer, and it lays out the way I like it, right? Okay, so I went to the Draft Network, all right? Their top 100, I mean, they've got Josh Allen, the edge rusher from Kentucky, number 9. You know, and they've got Kyler Murray all the way down at 26 on their power ranking. And you go to these others, and the one that I was on, this, you know, the big board for them, they've got Kyler Murray at number 2. So you go from 26 to number 2. That's, you know, that's the disparity you've got in these wide-ranging evaluations. You don't know where, you know, who do you believe? I believe the ones that lay it out for me the easiest
make
way
it
easy
for me to read. There's something to be said
and
for
the
that.
And the ones that actually agree with what I hear from other people outside. You know, I mean, it's not just you and me bouncing things off an empty room. We talk to people every day on this show, and we bounce it off each other, and we hear it, and we read things every day. All the crud that we hear, and we sift through all of that too. So you kind of sift through and get to where a website say, okay, this guy's making some sense. You know, there's nothing, you know, they don't have one of the top guys in the draft in the mid-20s evaluation, right? That's another thing too. If they don't have some outlier stuck inside their hot top 25 picks, then you say, okay, they're not getting it crazy on me, right?
Right. So, all right, a call here from John Michael in Utah. Go ahead, John Michael. Welcome to the show. Who do you want tonight?
Hey, guys, love the show. I would have to go with, if he falls to us at 9, Ed Oliver is my kind of my first pick. If I was to draft for need and get fired, I'd probably go with Hawkinson.
Hawkinson, yeah, okay.
Yeah, because I think we need a tight end. I mean, I just think that's a need for us. Going back to what you guys said earlier in the show, I really do trust that we're just going to get the right guy or the best guy available at our spot. So I'm not, you know, it's not like last year where I was up, you know, nights worrying about who we were going to get and all that stuff. It's more of a trusting place right now. And that's,
yeah. Who did you want last
John
year?
Michael. Oh, yeah. Who was your guy last year, John Michael? You can be honest.
A little embarrassed to say, but I really liked Rosen because I thought he would be there where we were going to pick. So that was kind of my guy, but I couldn't be happier at all with Josh Allen. I mean, I'm super stoked to cheer for this guy, and I'm a happy Bills fan right now.
Here's my next question on. Here's the question for today. I mean, you said Ed Oliver, and I get it, too.
Yeah.
Now, would you take Josh Allen, Quinnen Williams, or Nick Bosa before you take Ed Oliver?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's three guys you'd rather have than Ed Oliver.
Yeah.
So if any of those guys fall, that's the guy. But you're going to take a defensive lineman or a pass rusher or D lineman, right? That's your go-to position?
Well, no, I was just kind of going with, like, the biggest guy available. I figured Ed Oliver had the best chance of dropping, and I really like
right.
his character. Like you said earlier, his lights are on, stuff like that. So, if you know, Nick Bosa is there.
or Quinnen Williams or Josh Allen.
Yeah, of course.
Right.
I have a question for you guys. The reason I called in is you guys were talking a little bit about moving around in the draft, maybe trading up to get a somebody. You know, with signing T.J. Yeldon, you know, we got a pretty crowded backfield and two guys on the wrong side of 30. T.J. Yeldon was more productive than Shady was last year as a number two than Shady was as a number one. I love Shady. I've got a Shady jersey. I mean, I'm not kidding when I say I love the guy, but I was just wondering, you know, we could save $6.5 million for if we trade him. What kind of draft capital, if any, do you think he would garner if we were to offer, you know, try to trade up and probably not just him, but like, you know, with another pick or?
Yeah,
I don't think he's. Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. I don't think it would be that much. I don't think current players on the rosters get as much as you think they should. I mean, we're talking about getting Gerald McCoy from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for a fifth, and he's a great player and a great leader, and he's got 2 years left on a contract that's really affordable, or 3 years left on a contract that's really affordable. So they're not going to be as worth as much as you think, except for the fact that it's just like the draft. The most closely guarded information in the NFL from team to team is their evaluation of other players, not only the ones on their roster, but other players around the league. They don't want anybody to know how much they think of other players on other rosters and also in this draft. So there could be a team out there, if you hit it just right, that thinks LeSean McCoy would be perfect for our team. If we just get 1 year out of this guy, we're going to be a difference. We're going to be a different team. So you know what I mean, John Michael? So if that happens, if there's a team like that out there and you can find that out, then maybe you get a third.
Oof.
You know, then maybe you get a second. You know,
Oof.
you get an outlandish price for him. But you got to know who that is. That's why nobody lets this value stuff, their evaluations of other players get out, because they know they can, if the right player comes available and they dangle it out there, you jump too high to get him.
One thing, John Michael, and I want to let you answer this and talk about this a little bit. You're not just trading Shady here. You're trading a pretty sizable contract, which would be maybe the biggest factor for any potential trade partner. But I would guess fourth round, fifth round, maybe. What do you think, John Michael?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I look at it's kind of going to what Steve says is the need of the team. You look at the Oakland Raiders at number four, and they, you know, Marshawn Lynch will not return this season, and they have needs everywhere, like Steve said earlier. So they don't necessarily have to seek a running back, but they might be, you know, they might be second, third round territory for LeSean McCoy. And if we lumped in like a LeSean McCoy trade with, you know, picks and later round, like a second round, you know, maybe we could move up to the number four spot if they are not, you know, married to any prospect.
I think that's unrealistic, but I hear what you're saying, John Michael. Thank you. Yeah. We're going to talk more about the draft when we return. John Murphy, Steve Tasker. It's One Bills Live from One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
With the ninth pick, the Buffalo Bills select.
It's going to happen tonight. The draft, NFL draft starts at 8 p.m. tonight. John Murphy, Steve Tasker, we're going to be on the air, back on the air. We're going to get off here at about 3 o'clock, about half an hour, and then we're going to be back on the air at 8 p.m. tonight. I keep teasing Jay Harris, our producer, that we might be signed on at 8 p.m. by Roger Goodell, commissioner, saying with the first pick of the year of the 2019 NFL draft, the Arizona Cardinals select. I mean, that might be happening as we come on the air tonight at 8 p.m. It's going to be fun. The Buffalo Bills pick number 9 overall. We are right in the midst of talking all about it. You can call, tell us. It's the day has finally come. You can call and tell us who do you think the Bills should select, and we will find out. We can go on a list. We're going to take a call. Let's go ahead and take a call. Jerry from Tonawanda. Go ahead. Jerry from Tonawanda, you're on the air. Go ahead. You with us?
Hey, Steve. This last segment, you hit it out of the park about tight ends. We need, if we stay in the ninth pick, we need a tackle. And because if the Jets in the third pick take Josh Allen, it's Katie by the door. So we need, we just need a tight tackle in the ninth pick, but try to get up to that second pick. And let's give Frisco whatever they want. And so we can get up there and take Josh Allen. I would take Josh Allen, or I'd move up to get Josh Allen over a tackle if we could do it. But if not, then stay pat and take a tackle at the ninth pick.
Yeah, here's the thing. Jerry, what do you think about this? If the Bills want to move up, say they want to move up into the top three and get a chance at Nick Bosa or Josh Allen or one of those guys, what are you willing to give up to get there? Because it may take, if the Bills have 10 picks, it may take 7 of them.
We'll pull a Minnesota Viking, like what the Vikings did with Herschel Walker. Let's give them the house.
Give them the whole draft or 11 players.
If we can get Josh Allen, give them the house.
But, well, like, what do you mean? What's the house?
Well, I mean,
10 picks?
If it's Frisco, what do they want? If they want all our picks, then we give them all our picks. If they want our second and third and a second and third next year, and Shady McCoy, then do it.
You're saying no matter the cost, jump up to the top two or three spots in the draft. The Jets aren't going to trade with the Bills because they won't do that within the division. So you're saying jump up to Arizona or San Francisco and just pay whatever it takes to get.
Well, Arizona isn't going to take Josh Allen. So
no, they're not. But the Jets might.
The Jets really will. If they do, it's Katie by the door. He's a game breaker.
You're telling me with a straight face that you think the Buffalo Bills should trade. Let me just tell you exactly what you're telling me. You're telling me the Buffalo Bills should trade the 9th, the 40th, the 75th, the 113th, all 10 draft picks to move up to the number 2 slot, right? And be done.
Right, but I don't think Frisco would want all of them. They may take their second and third and maybe second and third next year and say Shady McCoy. But whatever Frisco wants, you know, play a little hardball with them.
Sure.
Or But then give them
your draft and play a little hardball.
Whatever the price they're going to give you, you got to play hardball and get them for as little as you can get them. Players, picks, whatever it takes to get Josh Allen. What do you know about Josh Allen that makes you think that's the guy you need to get?
I watched him all last year. I got a
friend
in Lexington, and I'm telling you, I've watched all his games. This guy is a game breaker. And not only is he a good pass rusher, this guy is just as fast as Edmonds. And he can play like a middle linebacker, and he can pick up a running back and stay with them out of the backfield.
Yeah,
can do it all.
Right. I'll tell you this. There's one. And I'm telling you that some people. What do you think? You probably don't know him as well. There's other places that you'll find on these websites that have a guy named Brian Burns from Florida State ranked well ahead of Josh Allen of Kentucky. What do you think about that? You think they're crazy?
Not only are they crazy, but think back. How many times have we take Florida State players and they've been a bust?
but that every player's different, and it doesn't even matter if they went to the same school. So I get it.
How many times? I want to know the answer. How many times did they take Florida State players who were busts? Jerry?
I don't know. Every time they pick somebody, I can't.
Nigel Bradham, pretty good player, still playing. I mean, I don't think that's accurate. Thank you, Jerry. Can I move along?
Okay, move along.
You want to move along to the prop bets?
Okay.
Yeah, we have fun with this.
We can
could
do
have
it.
Fun
we,
with this.
We could. We could if we had money to burn and a little more sense.
Prop bets. As usual, everything in the NFL is subject to gambling, right? And there's a list of prop bets that deal with tonight's first round. We thought we'd have a little fun with here and kind of get our thoughts on it. Number one, the first overall pick hugs his mom first. Yes or no? Well, that's a good one. He could hug a girlfriend. He could hug a coach. He could hug his father. But I'm going to guess yes, he will hug his mom first. First overall pick. Kyler Murray, Nick Bosa. I'm saying yes. How about you?
I'm going to say no.
Who are you thinking? Girlfriend? Wife?
I don't know. Well, here's the thing. It's probably the first pick is probably going to be Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
So if Kyler Murray's the guy, is he going to hug his mom, hug his dad? Hug his, you know, and if it's Nick Bosa who goes number one, maybe he hugs Joey.
Can I say, I think you're giving this too much thought.
All right, I'm going to say, I would probably say yes too.
Prop bet number two, Nick Bosa selected as a top two pick. I'm going yes.
I think he'll be number two.
Okay. The third prop bet, Drew Lock. Missouri quarterback selected number 10 or earlier.
I say no.
I hope no.
I don't. No, I kind of hope he would be. Don't you? You want him to be selected ahead of the Bills.
Yeah, they're nine.
Right.
If he is selected in top 10, I think it'd be a massive reach on somebody's part. That's all.
Right. Keep going.
Dwayne Haskins selected number 10 or earlier. Ohio State quarterback.
I think he will.
I think you're right. Yes.
Yeah.
Here's one that clearly impacts the Bills. Prop bet. Ed Oliver selected at 8 or earlier. That would hurt if he goes at 8, but he might. Because we'll be getting excited tonight. If he's sitting out there at 6, 7, we'll start beads of sweat on the forehead. We might have him anyway. I mean, we'll start getting excited. But if he goes 8 or earlier, I'm going to say yes. What do you think?
Right. I'm going to say yes, he is too. I think it's too much to hope for that he slides down to Buffalo. I think it's too much to hope for, so I'm going to say yes, he will.
Prop bet, how many quarterbacks will be selected in round one, over and under 3.5? Over 3.5 or under 3.5 quarterbacks selected in round one?
I'm going to say I think there's going to be 3, so I'm going to say under.
I would say under 2. I think you got the right number. And who do you think they are?
It's going to be Murray.
Haskins,
and Locke.
Okay, I think you're probably right. Prop bet, how many offensive players overall will be selected in round one?
The over-under?
Over 15.5, under 15.5. I'm saying under.
Yeah, I'll say under, too.
32 players?
I think it's, now, the quarterbacks could make a difference in that. I'm going to say under.
Prop bet, how many Alabama players to be selected in round one? Over 3.5, under 3.5?
In round one?
Yep.
Ooh, okay. All right, hold on. Hang on. All right, so you got Quinnen Williams, okay. You've got Jonah Williams, okay. That's two.
I would say under. I'm trying to think who else. Let me think.
That's
kind of
going to be doing it. I think that's going to be it. I mean, you might get maybe Irv Smith, the tight end, maybe.
He needs a second.
Yeah. And there's a couple of tight ends before him. So, you know, Mack Wilson, then you get to the inside linebackers, the next guy maybe.
I'd say two, under.
I'm going to say under. I'm Deontay Thompson, the safety. Yeah, I'm going to say under. I'm going to say under.
Prop bet. This is a good one. Will Josh Rosen be traded during round one? During round one?
No, he's not. No.
I'm thinking that might wait weeks.
He may. Listen, there's the. You talk about a smokescreen. It could all have been a smokescreen in Arizona. It could all have been a smokescreen. They're gonna keep him. He's their guy. They're putting that pick out there. If somebody wants to get him, they're gonna have to jump up to get him. And they may end up not only with like 12 picks that they have, but they could end up with, you know, 15 or 16. They got 3, 6. They've got 10 picks. They could end up with 12 or 13 picks in this draft and two more in the top 50 if they trade that pick, right? And maybe a pick next year. So they could slide out of that pick, but I don't think it's going to happen.
I don't either.
But they could.
They could.
It could.
But he won't be traded during the first round?
But Josh Rosen's not going to be traded during the draft, no.
Prop bet, Quinnen Williams. Alabama, big man, defensive tackle, will be selected as a top three pick. True. Yes.
True. Yeah, yes. I agree.
All right, here's an interesting prop bet. Who's the first wide receiver off the board tonight or tomorrow night? Can I give you some names? Sure. DK Metcalf, Hollywood Brown, A.J. Brown, Hakeem Butler, N'Keal Harry, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, Paris Campbell. Who's the first wide receiver from that group of seven?
Who's the first one?
Who's the first one off the board?
I think it's going to be Marquise Brown. Mm. He's the small, the little guy. He's a jitterbug, 5'9" and a half. He's a 165, a little small guy, but he's maybe one of the fastest guys out there. DK Metcalf's fast, but Marquise Brown is a guy who catches the ball and runs with it after the catch. Caught a ton of really short passes. And he also goes, he's that guy that goes deep. You know, he's the guy at the other end of all of, you know, Kyler Murray's highlights. So
I'd say it's Metcalf. First one off the door.
No.
Probably middle of the first round.
Maybe. Maybe. Might be his teammate A.J. Brown too.
Could be. Yep.
All right. I don't know. I'm gonna say no, it's not gonna be DK Metcalf. That's all I can say.
Why is there so much?
He's got some holes in his game.
Yeah,
and
sure
he's raw and he's young and he doesn't and the body of work is not enough to give GMs a lot of confidence. But that doesn't say that there aren't coaches in the room going, no, I got him. That's exactly the kind of guy I want. I want a young guy that hasn't been coached up. Let me coach him up. There's all of that going on too, you know.
Who do you want in the first round? That's our question to the masses right now. Give us a call, 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. Mark in Cheektowaga. Hello, Mark. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, guys.
Hi.
I guess I'm going to completely disagree with that last caller, Jerry, I think his name is. I mean, you know, this time of year, do you trade up? Do you stay where you are? Do you trade down? And I do agree in a couple specialized situations it makes sense to trade up. Getting your quarterback like the Bills did last year, completely agree. Or if you think you're a Super Bowl contender and you've got just one kind of glaring need that you think will get you there and a guy that's further up than where you're drafting, you think that's the guy that can fill the spot. I get it there, too. But the Bills are not in either of those situations. And I think, in general, I think you're always better off trading down. You know, football, I mean, Steve knows this here. Football is such a team sport. You need so much depth, you know, injuries, all this specialized substitution that goes on. I mean, you just need so many good guys to build a team that can win a Super Bowl. I think you're better off having five, you know, I don't know exactly how the, you know, I know they assign value to draft picks, so I don't know if you just trade down, how it ultimately would work out. But I think you're better off with, say, five mid-round, third-round picks than one first-round, mid-round pick. And
well, here's the thing, Mark, and I don't disagree with you, but for me and from what us and the conversations we've had with all the guys we've spoken to, there's only a maximum, and I mean a maximum, of six guys in this draft that teams are really thinking about maybe trading up for. And the problem is the six teams that are in the front of this draft, I don't think any of them want to move out of that spot because they need one of the guys at those spots. I don't think any of them are interested in moving down. I think they want the picks they've got. You've got to have somebody who's willing to trade out and somebody who's willing to trade up. I don't think there's that many people. And even if the Raiders, with all their draft picks in the first round and 30 and four in the first 35, even if the Raiders do want to trade out, I don't know that there's that many teams who want to trade into those top four at number four to get a guy. I don't think there's a guy, a franchise-changing player that would warrant one of these other teams in the league to jump up into the top five to get there. So even if it is a good idea to trade down and get more draft picks, I get that. But I don't think you're going to find a partner to do it. I think that's the situation a lot of these teams are finding themselves. I think that's the same thing with the Buffalo Bills. They're sitting at number nine, top 10 pick. It's great. You're going to get a pretty good player, but I don't think it's worth more than what it is like for these other teams to jump into that ninth spot. I don't think there's a lot of teams out there that are going to give up extra picks in the second or third or fifth round or fourth round even that would find it worth it to do that. And that's the problem. You got to have both sides of the equation. And I don't think that those teams are out there. And we've said it all throughout the show. Murphy, you can chime in.
I can.
The top 12 guys or 13 guys are what is where the plateau of this draft is. Once you get outside the 13th or the 14th player of this draft, it starts to be a precipitous drop-off. And if you're going to trade into it, I mean, how much is it worth to trade up to get into the 10th spot or the 9th spot? The first two or three, maybe, those guys? But I don't know. I mean, you got to find a partner, and I don't think you're going to find a partner to trade out. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe everybody's going to trade out. But I don't think it's going to happen.
NFL true or false. Let's do a quick one here. This came from Bruce Arians. He says, if you draft for need, you will get fired. I say false. Everybody drafts for need a little bit. That's not why you get fired. You get fired if you lose. False. If you draft for need, you'll get fired. False.
Yes, not necessarily. I'm going to say false as well because you're right. Teams take the best player available at the position they need, so they can say they're drafting the best player available, but they're only drafting the best player available if he's at a position that they need.
Yep.
That comes first.
Number two, NFL true or false, brought to you by Yancey's Fancy, New York's artisan cheese. Russell Wilson, new deal with Seattle. Some people expect that means Seattle will now become pass happy. Following Wilson's new deal, the Seahawks cannot scrap their run-centric approach. I think they ran it more than anybody last year, and I say that's true. Don't change what you're doing. You're winning. You're winning. You can win more, but I think they have the right mix up there in Seattle. I like what they're doing, and I think that's true.
I agree. They don't need to get away from that. Certainly, they were really good when they had Marshawn Lynch and Russell Wilson on his rookie deal. Now that he's not on his rookie deal, I get it. They're paying him a lot of money, but the philosophy has got to be the same. And I think it's easier once you've got the quarterback in place. If you do need a game where he needs to throw the ball 50 times, okay, he can do that. But you're better and you're at your best for the Seahawks when they run the ball 35 times and throw it 20.
Yep.
That's where they want to stay. Their defense has to be solid. Certainly they're learning to win different ways than they were winning when they had the Legion of Boom in their secondary. And they are doing that. But I don't think the philosophy has changed.
Finally, in NFL true or false, Patriots are the most likely team to make a trade during the draft. I'm saying false. Look, the Raiders have four picks in the first 35, three in the first round. The Giants have a couple of first-rounders. Those are the guys who are, I think, likely to make a trade. False. The Patriots are not the most likely team to make a trade.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't think they've got a lot of capital, no question. 12 picks is a big number. But those picks are not in prime spots. I mean, they're sitting there just like everybody else. They've got a long way to go to get into any picks that are different than the ones they've got. They'd have to package a bunch of stuff together. I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility. You're right. They do have a lot of picks. But those picks are, they have five picks inside the top 100. And they also have the 102 pick. So they got six picks inside the top 102. They're right where a lot of people would want to be in this draft. They're right where a lot of people would want to be. So I think the Patriots have a better chance of standing pat, actually, than making a trade.
There you go. NFL True or False brought to you by Yancey's Fancy, New York's Artisan Cheese. Steve and I coming back. One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio. So what do we learn today? Presented by Advanced Alarm, providing Western New York's homes and businesses with the finest in security and home theater, the preferred alarm and home theater provider of the Buffalo Bills. We did not learn who the Bills' first pick will be, but we've danced around it a lot. We don't know. I wish we knew. Hey,
we're guessing.
So what did we learn? Let me get to it here in the rundown. What did we learn? We had Tremaine Edmonds on the show, Bills' first-round draft pick a year ago. Talked about his draft experience last year on this day, first day of the draft.
I mean, it's a feeling that we dream of our whole life. You know, this is what we go to work for. It's what we've been playing ball for. But I mean, it's really an experience that I can't ever forget. You know, it's a little nerve-wracking, but I mean, that comes with it. You know, not knowing where you're gonna end up. But you know, I got my name called. Then I had media stuff to do, and then you know, here goes my brother.
Yeah.
So you could just imagine, you know, the energy that was going through that room with my family. And you know, I saw a clip when, you know, they recorded me and my emotion and, you know, my reaction. But it was amazing, man, because I know how much he worked for it, you know how much I worked for it. Just to see dreams come true there, it's amazing.
You were Tremaine Edmonds in the studio with us right around noon today when we got going. And Lorenzo Alexander was in studio with us as well. The veteran linebacker, undrafted back in 2005. We asked Lorenzo what do you ask the Bills draft picks when they show up here at One Bills Drive tomorrow? What question would he have for them?
What I thought was unique this year that I've never been a part of it is that the Bills put together this film or like short video of guys, current guys on the team, and as far as what to expect to tell these young guys when they come in. And I know the draft picks will get to watch this video, and you know, obviously you have me, Micah, Jerry, guys that have been here, can tell them about the city, about this team and culture that we're trying to build, and what we expect of them as young guys coming into this building.
Did I hear you told the guys be ready to take my order when I send you out?
I was just being funny. Yeah, I said make sure you bring a pen and pad, you know, so you can take my order down at, you know, Chick-fil-A or something when I send you out. Because these guys these days, they forget. They got a lot of going on. I want to make sure my order is right.
Typical Lorenzo, always
thinking of himself. Never changes either, though. It's the same way when I make it the last century.
So here's the deal. Steve and I done for now, 3 o'clock, and then we're back tonight, 8 p.m. until, we'll see, when the Bills wrap up their business tonight. They'll probably take us through last year that they wrapped up their business late in the night.
You know darn well we're going to be here till 11. We cannot get out of here early.
Yeah, and what's early? I don't know what's early even.
8:30 would be optimal.
Bills pick tonight, everybody.
Bills trade up to the number 3 pick of the draft, picking it right at 8:30 on the clock, and presto changeo, we're done.
Tomorrow is another long day, too. We'll be here 10 to 3 p.m. tomorrow for the show. So join us tonight, radio only, on our flagship WGR Sports Radio 550 at 8. Production assistance from George Blass, Jeff Koltnick, Thomas Honnoder, Kelly Rude, J.J. Torito, Kevin Cargis, James Roble, our producer, Jay Harris. We'll see you tonight at 8 on the radio and tomorrow at 10 a.m. on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health from One Bills Drive. And this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.